play. One for the last 25 over three tonight. They've got the puck. Fisher passes it out from the score. The puck went right to Stepan, and he says, finally, I score, and we are tied at four. Ekman-Larsson wanted it back. The shot, they score, tipped in front, and it got past Lindgren. The shot taken by Perlini, and that will be his goal, I believe, perhaps. Fisher's either way, Arizona has a one-goal lead.
Inacceptable, surtout la façon qu'on a joué en première période, puis de pas être capable de garder ta concentration pour deux autres périodes. Et puis, ça fait deux jours qu'on en parle de cette équipe-là, qu'il faut faire attention, puis de bien gérer notre match, puis la situation. Puis on va vraiment désappointé ce soir.
Welcome back. It is hour number three of Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, following the Canadiens' loss on home ice to the worst team in the National Hockey League, the Arizona Coyotes. They did practice today, missing some guys. We'll get to that and much more. Major, major thanks again to Yvon Cornway, Frank Mohavlich, Roger Gilbert, and Dave Keon for the last hour. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We're with you until 6, the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch in its entirety between 6 and 7, a 9.5 on Rod's Scrum scale today. And then at 7, Sean Campbell, Mike Kelly, the Laval Rocket on TSN 690.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Delicious Pastrami Sandwich. Have it oven grilled, only $5 at Dagwood's.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Wow, I don't even want to be on after you just told me that Yvon Cornway, Frank Mohavlich, Rod Gilbert, Dave Keon. Are you kidding me?
I know.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, honestly, that's one of the great hours I've personally ever spent on the radio. And it was, I didn't realize it was an hour until I just got up and I feel like going to sleep. So it took a little bit out of me, but it was a great, great moment. And especially Davey Keon, Pierre, as you know, for the longest time, he wasn't involved with anything involving the Leafs and the National Hockey League. So great to see him back in Montreal.
Last year at the All-Star weekend, I had a chance, you know, they did the top 100 players, and I had a chance to sit down with Mr. Keon at that in the morning, the morning after the night, the celebration of the top 100 players. We had just an awesome discussion about hockey, you know, and about him coming down from Northern Ontario and playing at St. Michael's and eventually playing for Toronto Maple Leafs and everything that went on. That guy watches so much hockey, and he's still plugged into the league. And I know Yvon, and obviously Senator Mohavlich. What a group. Rod Gilbert, I see him from time to time in New York. That's an amazing group of people you just spoke to.
I could not take a break. And interesting what you said about Davey Keon. A lot of people listening, younger people, have never heard him speak before. And Rod, you made the observation about Dave.
Yeah, it was incredible how kind of there was like a twinkle in his eye. He was sharp and yet kind of laid back at the same time. Clearly a really sharp, intelligent guy.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. And maybe, Mitch, you could probably speak to this, you know, maybe just because of our veteran presence. You had Ralph Backstrom, who never got enough appreciation, maybe one of the best major junior players ever. He used to live at the Bowman's house, believe it or not, in Verdun when he played for Montreal Juniors. And Dave Keon, you're talking about two guys that I don't think ever got nearly enough credit for being just awesome, awesome players.
So at one point, they were finished telling some great story about something or each other. and I'm looking at them, and on my far, facing me on my far right is Yvon Cornway and Rod Gilbert and Frank Mohavlich, and Dave is right opposite me at the end of this table. And I'm remembering the 72 series, and then it hit me that Dave Keon was not even invited to the 72 training camp for Team Canada. I said, how come? He said, I wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Well, let's be fair. That 72 team, there didn't really have to be a lot of mulligans in terms of the selection.
No, that's what I said. There's no second guessing because they won, but it was just kind of shocking. He was still at the peak of his career at the time.
Yeah, and I think maybe if there was a miscalculation by Canada when they put that team together, not being ready for the quick transition game that the Russians presented. And that's where a player like Dave Keon would have really fit in well. If you think about it, what was his game? As you guys just saw, not an overly large man, but could he ever wheel? Hey, he could skate. And that would have maybe made a bit of a difference, but I don't think you have to have a lot of mulligans with that team. That team was a very, very good team.
All right. Since you brought it up on the subject of mulligans, last night, how do you explain what went down? We've all taken a crack at it. I think based on my observation from my sofa in my living room watching on TV, they're playing the worst team in hockey. They get a quick two-goal lead. Their guy wins a fight easily. They thought the rest of the night would be easy.
They disrespected the opposition. And one of the things you need to know, when you're a team that isn't super great, and Montreal is not super great, I think they can be good, but they're not super great. They're not one of the elite teams in the league. The other guys get paid too. So they're pretty good. Even though maybe their record's not good, they still know how to play. And once you disrespect the opponent by letting your guard down, and I love what Claude Julien said in French, by the way, because he was spot on. But once you disrespect the opponent just a little bit, you're going to have a problem. And I think Montreal disrespected Arizona by not competing hard enough, and they got themselves into trouble.
So they were saying all the right things. Anybody can beat anybody in a 31-team league. They were talking the right game going in, but there's got to be a way to keep this from happening, to prevent it from happening.
Well, leadership. That's where your older guys step up and they hold guys accountable before the game. Make sure you're ready to play. Let's not let our guard down. We can't lay an egg. We got a real difficult game coming up on Saturday. These are 2 points we're chasing in the standings. These are 2 points we have to have. 2 points we really have to have. So they're different. I can tell you, the games that scared me the most were teams that were below us in the standings when I was coaching, because I was always worried about that human reaction of, we're going to let our guard down. Guys who were ahead of us in the standings, I wasn't worried about playing them because I knew my guys didn't want to get embarrassed. They wanted to play, and they wanted to play well. But teams below you in the standings, you always worry about them.
In this tenure with the Canadians, that's just as mad as I've seen Claude Julien post-game. And a lot of us, we're talking after the game in the rink. Oh, I wonder if he's going to have a bag skate tomorrow for the guys. Just, Pierre, when is the right time to pull that out? And after a loss against the worst team in the league, would that have been a right time? Because it's not the direction that they went in today.
No, the direction was stinky. I would agree with you, Mitch Gallo. But the problem is you've got a high-flying team coming in tomorrow, and you can't leave it on the practice rink. He'll find a time, he'll find a place, and he'll get it done. And what they'll probably do is do it under the guise of a conditioning skate, but he'll remind guys. He'll remind guys when he's doing it subtly why maybe he's doing it.
So does that result speak for itself when it comes to being a teachable moment? Like, do you go over film review? Do you dissect what happened? Or do you try to just let the scoreboard and that shame sink in and not even kind of tackle it that much verbally or through film?
If my team was in a real good position in the standings, I would dwell on this game. I would, because I wouldn't want a repeat of it. The problem is my team's not in a real good spot in the standings right now, and I can't dwell over spilt milk. I have to look forward to the next opponent because every 2 points is really important to me right now. So I'm focusing in on how are we going to beat Toronto. That's what I'm focusing in on.
So how are they going to beat Toronto?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to play a 60-minute game, number one. They're going to have to make sure that they stay out of the box, number two. They're going to have to make sure that the power play does get to work and draw penalties from the opposition, and control the neutral zone. If you don't control the neutral zone against Toronto, you're not beating them. So there's a lot of different things they have to do. I don't know if Austin Matthews is playing or not. You guys would probably know better than I.
Game-time decision tomorrow.
Yeah, so that just makes it that much more of a difficult conundrum to figure out. But I would not dwell on the spilt milk aspect of last night if I was a coach. I'd be focusing in on how are we going to beat Toronto.
Pierre, the game last night, it was the first time I think that we saw Charlie Lindgren look average. I'm not putting the loss on him by any stretch,
no.
But it wasn't his best game. And I realize that we saw last season the Ottawa Senators really ride Mike Condon when Craig Anderson wasn't available, so I know goaltenders can do it. But I'm just wondering, with this young kid, how long and how many straight games can you keep playing him until it becomes just the workload is just too much for him?
You're probably looking at another five games, and then it's going to be a little much. You know, it's just this is all part of the learning process for him. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I've seen the best goalie in the league, in the history of the league, in my opinion, anyways, Marty Brodeur go through stuff like this. Patrick Roy went through stuff like this. Guys have bad nights. They have off nights. But I would say the fatigue factor is going to start to kick in, especially once they start doing some heavy road lifting. They don't have a lot of heavy road lifting for a while yet, but I think once that starts to kick in, if they don't have Price back, that'll be problematic.
So beyond last night, just the big picture of what we've seen through 20 games, the unforced errors in their own zone, Petrie looking soft, Alzner struggling with the system, defensive struggles, inability to get out of their own zone. Like, how much of this, it's got to be wearing on Claude Julien, something fierce.
I haven't heard you say anything about Victor Mete.
Well, he's part of it too.
So now do people realize why I said don't rush him?
Well, I would hope that people get by this knee-jerk reaction to anything you say that is perceived as being anti-Canadian, when all it is you analyzing with an objective view what is going down based on your many years of experience. And that
yeah,
you do not have.
Do
people think you have an axe to grind with the Canadians because you weren't hired as the general manager? And will take any opportunity to slam the team and moves they make, even though based on their record through 20 games this season, you have been largely hands-off based on the way they've looked some nights.
Yeah, and the reason why I am is because I knew what their team was going to be going into the season. I told you, they're going to battle for the 7th or 8th spot in the Eastern Conference, and that's about as great as they're going to be this year. So I'm not surprised by this. But the reason why I didn't want a young player rushed into the league, and I think the media did push for this to happen, and I didn't like that, and I said that at the time, because they want to, you know, report on a young star because there aren't a lot of them there. This is what happens with undersized players. This is what the fatigue factor, the game getting quicker. He's still not ready. That's really apparent. You can see it in how they're handing out his ice time. And I think they're going to have to at some point reevaluate. They have to reset. Maybe the World Junior might be a good thing for him. It might be. But I at this point, he's not the reason why they lost last night, by the way. But I'm just telling you, this is part of what they need to analyze right now as a staff. So, they definitely do.
Yeah, I don't mean to rub salt in any wound here, but it's a fact. There were 20 general managers in the rink last night. They all met here today. You know, Claude Julien used the word himself after the game, embarrassing. It's kind of an embarrassing situation to walk into if you're Marc Bergevin. You've already probably got feelers out since October, since they got off to this horrible start. Do you think? I know you don't like the word. You don't like the word desperation. You prefer the word urgency. But you know that date of American Thanksgiving is a week away. Would it not be closer to desperation right now?
You're getting there. And that's when it becomes chaotic. Once you get desperate, it becomes chaotic. So you're right. I think it's a very valid point. I think it's more than being fair. They know what the numbers are, too. The thing was, this is a friendly part of the schedule for them. They were catching a lot of teams in ambush situations where the team had played the night before. They were the rested team. They were the ready team. And they've taken advantage of it some nights, and they haven't taken advantage of it other nights. And last night was a situation they should have taken advantage of, and they did not. And now they're going to be – now all these games get magnified, especially the division games. The division games are huge. And you know who's coming in. What have they won, 5 in a row?
Without Austin Matthews.
And to be frank, to be fair, New Jersey deserved a better fate last night. Freddie Anderson was really good in that game. Freddie Anderson was outstanding. And that's bad news for the rest of the division, except for Tampa, because they're a team unto themselves. But if Toronto and Tampa are going to start running away with this in the division, and I'm telling you, don't short sell Ottawa. I told you that last year, too. Ottawa's going to find their way. You'll see. Then it becomes dicey. And so it's almost go time now for the teams that are chasing in the division. For Florida, who got a shutout win last night. For Montreal, who needs to start winning with consistency. It's almost go time for those teams now. It really is.
Pierre, you mentioned a few minutes ago the word leadership. Knuckles has used the word leadership before. Wasn't this supposedly addressed?
I was hoping it would be, but I don't know. I wish that what breaks.
Hello? We're just getting to a good part. What breaks his heart? Pierre?
Oh, that's awful.
Hello, Mitch.
Yeah, we got you back again. You were just getting to a good part. You were saying what breaks your heart.
What breaks my heart is I love practice. You know how much I love being at the rink watching teams practice because you can get a real sense for the fabric of the team at practice, sometimes more than at a game. You really can. And I don't get to see Montreal practice very much at all. And that's why it becomes tough to talk about leadership situations because you're not close to what's happening away from the actual show.
Right.
And that's where you can really detect some of the leadership of some of the people or some of the teams around the league. And I work my butt off to get to practices in so many different cities because I can have a book on these teams and I can really understand what they're about. But I don't do a lot of Montreal games. I watch them all, but I don't do a lot of them.
Okay, so whether it's a desperate situation or an urgent situation, do you get to a point as a manager where you feel compelled to do something to the point where you're willing to accept a lesser return on the dollar than you maybe should, and how dangerous can that be?
It can be very dangerous. It can be really, really dangerous. So that's something you got to – that's where you need your assistance. It's almost like a head coach when he wants to do a video review and the assistant's got to come over and say, you know what? Commander, that's not the right time to do the review. Let's hold it for another time. This is where you need your assistant managers maybe to say, you got to just, let's just tread lightly here. This maybe is a desperate move and it's not the right move. Let's make the right move so we don't have to do a bunch of different moves going forward.
Well, Pierre, and lastly, just to add to the Canadiens' woes for tomorrow's game against the Maple Leafs is at the practice today, Jonathan Drouin, Max Pacioretty, both out with the flu on top of Jordy Benn. And Torrey Mitchell had it earlier this week. So to add to the woes, some kind of bug seems to be going through the dressing room.
Which is not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. I mean, you feel terrible for that. That's where you start to say, oh, man, can't believe this is happening now. But I would say this, and I love the reporting there, Mitch Gallo. That's thorough reporting. But every team in the league goes through this stuff, so they're not the only team. Every team goes through it. Sometimes teams go through it twice. You have to hope you only go through it once.
Boy, this has the feel. And, of course, as Gallo mentioned on the scrum, which is going to be replayed between 6 and 7, you can also look at tomorrow night. Right now, tomorrow night, if you're a Habs fan, you're very skittish about it because it has the feeling. Right now, it has the feeling of that the second wave of snowballs that they're getting caught up in, like the way they started the season. And it looked like they had straightened things out, and now it seems to be starting again. Everything's bad. You know, where's the good news? There's no good news. And maybe a game like tomorrow can provide it and provide some kind of spark. It might be a reach, but I don't know how else you approach this.
No, I agree with you. That's why I said before, I wouldn't dwell on the spilt milk of last night. I'd be focusing in on the positive ways we're going to beat Toronto. That's what I'd be doing as a coaching staff. So I wouldn't beat them up over the head with the tape from last night. I'd save that for a later date. But that's what I'd do, just what Mitch Melnick was talking about. This could be the start of something great. You build off of that. And you got to take advantage. Division games on home ice, you have to take advantage of those opportunities when you're chasing. And Montreal is going to be in a chase position for most of the year, I have to believe, to try to get to one of those last two playoff spots.
All right, I want to finish here. Dave Trentadue, if you can find Gary Bettman on the Olympics, Gary Bettman and Jeff Molson, along with Pierre Hood of RDS, they were at the Chamber of Commerce a little after 1 o'clock this afternoon. And really towards the end, Pierre got to the meat of what a lot of people wanted to hear from regarding the commissioner. Let's listen.
taking 3 weeks off in February to go halfway around the world where you completely disappear, because the handful of games, if there are that many, depending on how well your local team performs, coming back at strange hours of the day and night where we're not allowed to promote the fact that we're there, is incredibly disruptive to our season.
All right, a couple of things there. If you want to pick up on that, and then I'll follow up.
So I just heard that soundbite, and all those things make perfect logistical sense. They do. But we just sent Vancouver and Los Angeles to China to play preseason games, and both those teams left players back home. How disruptive was that? And is what he's saying now is that they're not, is that what he's saying? They're not going to go to Beijing for 2022? Is that what he's saying?
Well, that's what he appears to be saying. And he specifically used the phrase, we can't promote that when we're over there. Like, number one.
Do you know who their business partner is for the national television package in the United States?
That would be your company.
That'd be NBC. Do you know who owns the Olympic rights until 2034?
NBC.
Really? Do you think NBC has been a good business partner for the NHL on the national stage?
You're asking rhetorical questions now, Jerry.
Correct,
so I'm not gonna
answer. I'm trying to be an attorney. Don't ask a question if you don't know the answer.
But if he says, if he throws that in and we can't promote the fact that we're over there as a league, is he saying, well, let us promote the fact that we're over there as a league, and then everything else he's using as ammunition against going doesn't mean as much as they do today?
I don't know. But I know that when he speaks the way he just spoke, it makes perfectly logistical sense.
But what does it mean that they can't promote when they're over there?
I don't know. That I don't know. You'd have to ask him. I don't know, because I know what my company does. Well, I don't own the company. I wish I did. I know what the company does that I work for, and they are so bullish on hockey, and they promote hockey in so many cross-promotional ways, including, by the way, could you imagine the Super Bowl is on NBC this year, in a brand new stadium in Minnesota. And do you know what the NHL is doing? There's a game on Friday night between Vegas and Minnesota that will be on NBC. I'm going there to do that game. Two nights later, the Super Bowl is going on in Minnesota. And then on February the 8th, 4 days after that, the Olympics start. You don't think the NHL would have got some pretty good promotion on the Super Bowl if their athletes were going to the Olympics?
Rod, you want to pick up very quickly?
I can only guess that Bettman's referring to control over audio and visual content online and that kind of thing, Pierre, because you know how restrictive the Olympics
are. That is true, and that's why if he's alluding to that, that's fair and that's factual. It is. But you want to talk about cross-promotion.
No kidding. That's inherent in that.
It's unbelievable. Do you know that how many mentions? Because Al Michaels, who's a very, very great announcer, not good, great announcer, and an awesome hockey fan, do you know how much he pumps the NHL up on Sunday Night Football or different things that he does? He's a season ticket holder for the LA Kings. Al's amazing. He loves hockey.
Dan Patrick, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan loves hockey. I work with Dan a lot at the Olympics, summer and winter.
All right.
Dan loves hockey.
All right. To conclude, again, with
you
all
got
the
me wound up.
With all the general managers here and the Canadians where they are, would it be a stretch, also looking at the needs of the two teams, considering how the Oilers are also in trouble, that if there was something to come out of the GMs all being here this weekend, that it eventually might be some kind of move between Edmonton and Montreal?
I don't think that's a stretch. But, I mean, if you look at what Edmonton's organizational need is right now, their organizational need is for speed on the wings. I know you got one guy who I would not give away is Paul Byron. But he would address some of the needs they have in Edmonton in terms of speed on the wings.
Yep.
And they wouldn't have to pay a huge price, even though if I were Montreal, I would demand a huge price. But I wouldn't do that if I were Montreal. You're asking me about organizational need for Montreal? They need center icemen. And there's, you know, everybody's talked about with the potential for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I don't know. I hate saying names.
I know, but that's...
Those names have been out there, so I hate to say that because I like both players and I like both guys.
Have yourself a terrific weekend. Thanks, as always. Thanks for another great week, Pierre, and we'll do it again Monday at 5:05.
I'm so envious of you being at the Windsor.
Yeah.
The Al Richmond had the quarterback club.
Oh, yeah, the old quarterback club. You know, the Expos were also born here.
Thank you for that, Mitch.
They were. 68 expansion draft. The Montreal Expos were born here at the Windsor Hotel in 1968. All right. A lot of history here.
Yes.
Can't you feel it?
I can.
Do you feel it?
I feel Versailles. I feel like I'm in Versailles or beautiful
city. Okay. Look at this painting up here. Like, yeah, what is that? Does somebody paint by numbers and put it up on the wall here? What is that? Oh, it's not a Picasso. What's wrong with you? Oh, we're coming back.